Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you, Lord. It's because of you. It's because of your word, which is a blueprint that shows us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, Lord, how to think, how to act, how to speak. It's because of your word, Lord, that we know how to live. And we know how to connect with you and stay connected to you through your word. So we ask now that you bless your word, Lord. Bless your people to hear not just information, but revelation, Lord, and let it lead to transformation. We thank you that your word is a lamp and a light. Lord, it's a lamp unto our way and a light unto our path, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as it illuminates the way. God, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, decaying, confusing world, we thank you that your word shines the light so we can see where to go. Follow you. Be blessed by you, Lord, in the midst of a broken world. We thank you. Bless your people to hear. Bless your word now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you look at quick review, Exodus 17. That's Exodus 17 and 6. So remember, this is the fourth thing that kept them out of the promised land. What do? When you're in the wilderness, you can complain and start fights. You never get to where God wants you to go. It's a couple of things God gave me even before we get into the word. Number one, it says we must operate, talking about the body of Christ, we must operate with a high level of Christian maturity when we are in the wilderness. So you substitute when you're on your job, when you're at home, in your house, with your family, you must operate with a high level of Christian maturity because we are in the wilderness. And as I'm going over this, we went over the four things so far. Number one was lusting after evil things. Number two was idolatry. Three was fornication. Here we are with four, with being contentious and testing God as opposed to trusting God. So God doesn't want us to fool ourselves into thinking we are in God's will when we are actually wandering in the wilderness. Let me say it again. Why do we need to know these four? Why do we need to know these five things? God doesn't want us to fool ourselves into thinking that we're in God's will when we're actually wandering in the wilderness. You have people, how you doing with God? Oh, I'm good. They don't have a clue. And God says, no, not at South Bay Abundant Life Church. My people aren't going to fool themselves. They're going to know if they're in the will and if they're in the wilderness. Because you can be in the will, even in the wilderness. The shame of it is when you're in the wilderness and thinking you're in the will. You don't have a clue. So they're murmuring and complaining. And then God told Moses to, verse 6, he told him to, God said, I'll be with you. He tells him to go on top of the mountain and take the staff in his hand. Verse 6, behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So remember, expect a miracle where a place that you wouldn't expect it to come from. So expect a miracle from the unexpected place in the wilderness. Amen. Surround yourself with elders, with mature Christians. It's okay to hang out with the baby Christians from time to time and those that's not even Christians. But you have to have in your core, you have to have a core of mature Christians as you're navigating through the wilderness. Amen. Then we get to that place, verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, which is what? Tempted and contentious. Why did he call it that? Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because of the complaining, because of their contempt, because of their testing, because of their contention. And they were asking the question, is the Lord really among us or not? So I have a read this. Every place you go has a name. And then think about it. What was your, where were you at today? Where were you at last night? Where were you at last week? They were tempted and contentious as opposed to trusting and comforted. What would you call the place you are now? What would God call the place you and I are at now? Every place we go is a witness to how we trust and depend on God or how we doubt and disrespect God. If I'm practicing sin, that tells me that I'm in a place of disobedience and disconnection. If I'm in obedience to God, then I'm in a place of obedience and favor. Your lifestyle says God is with me, or your lifestyle says there is no God. So, family, let me show you how to stay connected to God. So your place. There's certain scriptures that I read every day, whether I got 5 minutes or whether I got 30 minutes. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it's not a time issue. It's do you have the desire? But this past week, my place was called Faithful and True. And I found that in Joshua 23:14. Then my place was called Wisdom and Favor, and I found that in Proverbs 8. And then my place was called Praise and Worship, and I found that in 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. Family, all I can try my best is to do is to teach us the word. God's given us the blueprint of how to stay connected to him. It has changed my life. And I'm challenging you to allow it to change your life as well. But it's inside the Word of God. I've been praying. I've been meditating. I've been begging God for wisdom and favor. I'm worshiping God based on 1 Chronicles 29, where it says he's the greatness. He's the power. He's the glory. It's the victory and the majesty. I declare that every day. Then I go out because it's not. I don't care what they say wherever I go. Nobody's greater. Nobody's more powerful. Nobody's more radiant and brilliant. No one has an undefeated record in life. And no one's more majestic. So everywhere I walk, and I walk in with that. And that's the place I'm in, the place of praise and worship. And he says, wisdom is nothing that you can compare, that you could want, that's more desirable than wisdom. He said, when you find wisdom, you find life and obtain favor of the Lord. That's in Proverbs 8. So I'm going, I got life. I got wisdom. I got life, and I got favor. And I walk in wherever I go. I'm confident in God. That's the place I'm in. That's the place I try and stay in, family. And you can jump and you can shout and all that, but I'm telling you, you got to get in the word so you can stand on the word and stay in that place. And when you fall, you get back up. And you get right back to that place. I love God's word. So here we go. Let's go on a quick journey. Let's get into today's lesson. I love God for his word. Let's go to Numbers 21:4. Bless you. Oh, family, get ready. I hope we have time to finish all this. I get so excited because I'm telling you, God is taking us somewhere. But look, with the complaining, God, I can see, okay, you sleeping around, okay, you and then you lusting and after evil things, and you got your idols all around, and you say, oh, that's. But then what about the complaining? Oh, God's not good with us complaining, family. It kept them in the wilderness, being cynical, not trusting God. It kept them there. That's Numbers 21:4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people got so discouraged because of the journey. So let me break down a few words so you understand what it's saying. Okay, so when we break down the word compass, the journey, it says they were going in a circle. They went to the edge and they had to change directions. They had to turn around. Then they even say that the word says they even had to go backwards. So they got impatient because they're going in circles. They're going to the edge. They have to change direction. They turn around and they go backwards. They're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. That's basically what you're telling God. When you start complaining about where you are, you're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. And God, if I was in control of this, I would lead us right this way. Are you going to allow God to guide you? It says the word soul in the Hebrew is nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. What does it say about their soul? Their soul was discouraged, or their soul was impatient. That word discouraged is impatient. It's short. They got short. They were vexed. They were grieved. They were impatient. They were snapping on people in the wilderness because of where God was taking them. So you talk to somebody, how you doing? None of your business. Don't you worry about me. You worry about yourself. I remember Trace and I, we were in St. Louis. We were getting on a bus that was taken. We were speaking at a thing back then. And we get on the bus and the guy is sitting there. Said, good morning. How are you? He said, good morning. He said, that's debatable. So then we just got on the bus and we sat down. We kind of laughing. And then and so then we're getting off. Jerry, I'm going to make sure I say something to him. Have a good day. He just said, So, I mean, good morning. He said, that's debatable. Christians, you should never have a debatable morning that you wake up where they say, on this side of the dirt. Somebody say amen. Yes. With God in charge. Made sure I said something getting off just to see how he was going to respond. Have a good day. He said, "Arr." We do have to allow God to guide us. Some of you in your corporations, you have the trust walk when you go on retreats and they blindfold you and someone has to take your hand and you got to walk and you can't see where you're going. Call it a trust walk. Try and teach you to trust people and to be a team builder. I can trust the people I work with so we can be more productive. God's saying you got to trust me to be more productive in your life. And it said they got impatient with the way. They got short. They got impatient. And the way is the journey. Hear what it's saying. They got impatient the way, in the Hebrew, the word is journey, with the direction, with the path, with the manner, with the course of life. God is saying, don't get impatient with the journey, with the direction I'm taking you, on the path that I have you, in the manner that I'm doing it, and with the course of life that I'm taking you on. God said, don't complain about that. It says, don't let your soul or your spirit get discouraged on a journey. And you do know we're on a journey, a physical and a spiritual journey to the promised land. Somebody say amen. Amen. You want to take shortcuts and you get discouraged and you're doubting and contending and testing God as opposed to trusting God. And then don't allow other impatient people to influence you to speak against God. The people that God has in charge. Because look at verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Notice the order. The soul got impatient because God wasn't moving according to your time frame or your biological clock or any other clock or time Satan has manufactured for you to operate outside the time or the will of God. Let me say that again. Don't let your soul get impatient and frustrated because God is not moving according to your time frame or your biological clock or any other clock or time Satan has manufactured for you to operate outside the time and the will of God. Make a note, God is a God of timing, specifics, order, and detail. So we get to verse 5, and the people spoke against God and Moses. Wherefore have you brought, here we go again, brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul we detest this worthless bread that you provided. Ooh, are you really talking to God like that? God, I detest this worthless job that you provided for me. I detest these worthless people you have me surrounded with. You see how you can be in that wilderness for a long time? And you just wandering around. Oh, it gets better, trust me. That word loath, it means detest. Grieved. I mean, look at this. It says loath. Where are we at? Is that verse? Okay. Neither is there any water in our soul. Okay, the soul. Your life, your appetite, your mind, your emotions, your passions, your inner being, your will and your character. You detest. It makes you sick to your stomach. It's the word loath in the Hebrew. It's a sickening dread because of the direction God has taken your life. Are you kidding me? God, we detest. And then you, by the way, you've given us this worthless bread. When you detest the direction God has taken your life, remember I said this. Did I say this is for mature Christians, a level of Christian maturity, family? Yeah. Where you are is right where God wants you to be. Yeah. Where you say, "Yeah, I detest. I'm sick to my stomach, God, because of the direction you're taking my life." That's a form of pride because you're saying, "God, I can do it better than you can. I don't know much, God, but I can do it better than you who created everything." Try that one on for size. Make a note that in Isaiah 55, 6 through 11, that's where it talks about our thoughts are not God's thought. Our ways are not his ways. So we don't think like God. Our thoughts and our ways, they're totally different. We'll never figure it out. God allows us to see certain things, but we don't need to know all things. We need to trust God. All right, so here we go. Oh my gosh. Verse 5. Got a couple of read this, Kathy. It says, don't speak against God and don't speak against the leadership of God. What is that, verse 5? And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Notice the order. They spoke against God and against Moses. Oh, I like that. Okay. It says, notice the order, because you have a problem with God. You speak against the leadership God has in place. You have a problem with God, because when you're right with God, you're not complaining about the leadership God has in place. You're praying for the leadership God has in place. You're not complaining about your boss. You're praying for your boss. I talk about it all the time. If you're not praying for your spouse, don't complain about your spouse. If you're not praying for your kids, don't complain about your kids. If you're not praying for your parents, don't complain about your parents. So here's to read this. I'm going to read. Okay, thank you. Your issue isn't with people. Your issue is with God. Just admit it. You don't trust God to answer your prayers. You don't trust God with your life to provide for you financially. That's why you don't tithe or give an offering. I'm not going to give my money to that man. You're giving your money to the kingdom, to God, to advance his kingdom. Your problem is not with the pastor. Your problem is with God. That's where it's at. And, you know, we never do tricks or gimmicks. I never even talk about money. Every now and then I'll slide it in there. But you guys are very generous. You're tithing. You are. But people, it's not, their problem isn't with the church. It's with God. It's not with your boss. It's with God. Because you don't trust God. That's why you have a problem. It wasn't about Moses. The people didn't trust God. You and I really need to evaluate our hearts before we go to bed tonight and ask ourselves, do I really trust God? Why aren't you reading daily? Why aren't you studying? Why aren't you begging God for wisdom and provision and favor daily? Your problem is not with people. You are afraid and fearing and complaining, all demonstrate a lack of faith and trust in God because you don't really believe God is who he says he is. And you can't humble yourself to submit, surrender to God 100%. Your problem is not with people. Your problem is with God. I know that. Hey, Happy New Year. That's where our problem comes in. And then look at verse 5 again. And I have this note. Don't allow your physical needs to cloud your spiritual common sense. Because you are thirsty or hungry or lonely or tired or sick or injured or hurt. Don't let that affect your mind and spirit to the point that you think God doesn't care about you or that God is out to get you and God wants to kill you. That you believe that God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for our sins and to save us, is now out to kill you and let you die in the wilderness. Are you serious? Don't let your physical needs cloud your spiritual common sense. And don't allow your soul to detest anything God provides for you. Talk about ungrateful children. They have a spirit of ungratefulness. Complain about everything and cynical about most things, including life. Which is an indication that you don't really trust God. You can't appreciate your spouse. You can't appreciate your children. You complain about your job. You complain about your clients. You complain about your pastor. You complain about your church. You complain about the sunshine and the rain. You just complain about everything. And your problem's not with people, it's with God. And what do you do for 40 years? You complain until you die in your dysfunction. Why are you still wandering in the wilderness? Because you are ungrateful and complaining about everything, as opposed to trusting in God and thanking God for all things. When I looked up the translation of the light, remember, because light has a different meaning, so that's why it's always good. And when I looked it up, and the light, and at the end of chapter 5, this light bread, light is translated like keloke in Hebrew, and it means worthless. Are you serious? They told God, all you've given us is a worthless job, this worthless place I have to live. These worthless kids, these worthless parents. Are you serious? This worthless car? I mean, talk about being ungrateful. And they said it was bread. The bread was the grain or corn. Or it was like some cornbread. Are you serious? You complain about cornbread? But then look how it shifts. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, and the Lord sent fiery poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. And when you look up the word died, it means they were executed, they died prematurely, they were put to death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And a lack of faith is sin. And then sin does bite like a serpent. Somebody say amen. It might start off good, but then it bites like a serpent. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. So make a note that there are consequences to not trusting God and complaining. can lead to death. Just think about how many of our relationships have died because we complained and didn't trust God. Think about how many relationships and opportunities have died prematurely because we complained, as opposed to praying and waiting for God to work out the details and the process. And as a result, the relationship or opportunity died. God help us. Wandering around in the wilderness. But then it gets better. Look at verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." At least they got the order right. "And against you, pray unto God." Are you kidding me? You've talked about me. You've despised me. And now you're coming to me telling me, "Can you pray for me? Can you intercede? Can you intervene for me?" Are you kidding me? Remember, I told you it takes a mature. This is level of Christian maturity. Because the same people that talk about you is the same people that's going to ask you to pray for them. The same people that snicker behind your back on the job are the same people that's going to say, "Hey, man, can you pray for me?" And you got to be ready to pray for them. And you can't let your pride, when you're in your Jeep, get in the way. Your greed and your ego, your envy and your pride, you can't let it get in the way. Those same people. Oh, I got it here. You know I got to read this on this, Kathy. The people spoke in the correct order. God, then Moses, have they spoken against. I got to read verse 7 before I get into this verse. Oh, I got to finish verse 7. "Pray unto me that the Lord, that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses, God, are you kidding? Moses, pray. Are you serious, Moses? Man, I would tell y'all, nah, 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 that's what y'all get. Deal with it. Are you serious? You talk bad about me. But look, make a note. Thank you, Jesus. There's always mercy seat and a place for grace in God's kingdom. Oh, my gosh. We can go way out, but there's always a mercy seat and a place for grace in God's kingdom. Are you serious? You've talked bad about God and me, and now you want. And now when your relationships and your world is falling apart, you want me to pray for you? Remember, I told you, make a note. This is for mature Christians only. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, how can he forgive you? Amen. So get off your high horse just for a minute. Here's a revelation, Sister Washington. Pray for the people that are testing, contending, complaining, and wanting to fight you. Pray for these people because those are the same people that God has called you and I to minister to. Notice God didn't take Moses out of the situation. God instructed Moses on how to equip himself and minister to the people that complained about him and Moses. Same people God's called you and I to minister to, Brother Jerry. You argue with God, don't argue with me. But put the tagline on for spiritually mature Christians only. Amen. This ain't for the babies. Not only that, it gets better. The Lord said, verse 8, and the Lord said, and pray means to intercede. And it means to intervene on their behalf. They're saying, man, I need you to intercede. So I absolutely love intercessory prayer. Bless you on Wednesday nights. Look what God says. And the Lord said, and the Lord right here, Sister Yvonne, is the Lord Jehovah, the existing one. The existing one said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." So God says, you make one of brass and copper, and you set it up. What did the Son of Man, when he's lifted up, he'll draw men unto him. It's a type and shadow of Christ right here. God's Redeemer right here. Oh, my gosh. All right, let me keep going. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he perceived, that word look is raha in the Hebrew. When Moses lifted up, if any man looked at it, which means look at all this for what it says. Perceived, discerned, considered, reflect. That's what the word look means. Respected. He has vision. If he learned, if he regarded, if he gave it attention, if he had to face himself, if he inspected himself, then he was healed. Then he lived. Look at what God says. Mature Christians only. Moses was obedient to the word of God and ministered to and healed the people that complained about him and God. The same people that talk about you is the same people that God has called you to minister to and heal through Jesus Christ. Oh. God's word is true. Sometimes it may have you looking a little weird. You might be a little bit uncomfortable. You might have to humble yourself really low. You might have to get rid of all of yourself. But God has called us to be salt and love and light. Here's a revelation. You and I are called to minister to the same people that will speak ill to us and against us. Gosh, don't. Look at the comparison to the children of Israel, to our own children. Uh-oh. Parents, our siblings, our friends, our family, our co-workers, our clients, our church members, especially our grown children and our family members, our siblings. Maybe they may speak ill about us and complain about the God in us. But God has called us to trust him and minister to them and heal them. Why? Let me tell you why. Because you and I know, you know, at some point they're going to call and need something. It's right here, Sister Sherry says, read this. They are going to call and need some, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, financial, or spiritual. They are going to call. Which is an answer to prayer, because we've been praying for them to call and reconnect. Somebody say amen. Because Sister Tara, I ain't been complaining about them. I've been praying for them. So when they call, I expect them to call because I've been praying for them that God would touch their heart. Amen. And those are the same people God called me to minister to and heal them. Mature Christians only. Because you know they're going to call. Because you've been praying, and plus they're going to need something. God going to put you on their heart, and they don't even know why they're calling, but they're going to call. Yeah. What a mature place we have to be in to be obedient to the word of God. I love God. Hey, make a note. It says right here. Make a note. This all takes place in the midst of the wilderness. Right. On the way to the place God has called us to go. And you got to deal with it. And so what do you do for 40 years? You wander? Or you heal the people that God's called you to minister to? Are you complaining? You sleep around and you lust after evil things? You get caught up in idolatry? And then we'll get to the fifth one next week. Says you can't drive around in your Jeep, your greed, your ego, your envy, and your pride in the wilderness. You got to get out of that thing. You can't have your feelings on your sleeves. You can't get offended when the people complain about you. Because God has called you and I to minister and heal the same people that complain, murmur, and speak ill of us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that's where we're going to stop today. So if you would, just bow your head just for a quick minute. God, they told you that all you've provided for them after you parted the Red Sea, took them out of Egypt. They got to the point to say, God, you took us out to kill us, and all you have given us, provided, is this worthless bread. And you told Moses, minister to the people, pray for the people, heal the people. God, forgive us right now of our complainings. Complaining about school and work and job and ministry and our brothers and our sisters, our parents, our kids. God, let us start praying more and stop complaining. Because when they call, God, we can't have an attitude. Only if it's an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness that my prayer has been answered, because I've been praying for my brother. I've been praying for my sister. I've been praying for my mom. I've been praying for my dad. I've been praying for my younger brother, my younger sister. I've been praying for them, Lord. Been praying for those co-workers, Lord. So when they call me to pray, I'm going to pray, Lord, and I'm going to tell them about the life that's in Jesus Christ and how they can be healed and saved and set free through Jesus Christ. God, let me get to that place of a mature Christian believer. God, forgive me of my sins of doubting, fighting in the wilderness as if I'm fighting against man. My problem isn't with man, God. My problem is with you. I come clean and I confess it, Lord, and I forsake it. God, I trust you. God, I need you. Need you to guide me in the wilderness. And I trust whatever journey, whatever path, if you got me going in circles, if you got me on the edge, if you got me going backwards, if you change directions, God, I'll trust you. Hallelujah. I'll stop complaining and I'll trust you. I'll stop looking at man and I'll start trusting God. So God, we just repent individually and collectively. God, raise us up to the mature level where we see everyone as an opportunity for prayer, for ministry, and for healing. Let us guard our mouth and our tongue to complain about anything, but let us be thankful for everything and all things. So God, we love you on today. Thank you for the revelation knowledge. May it lead to a transformed life. Thank you, Lord. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never even accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. Today is that day. If you want to know if you're saved, you're not sure if you're saved. If you were to die today, you don't know if you would go into paradise, into heaven to be with God. You don't have to guess. There's too much going on a day-to-day basis. Don't take life for granted. If you never accepted Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. If you hear, you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I just got to get connected. The place I'm in right now is disobedience and disconnection. And I need to get to the place of trusting and comfort, of wisdom and favor, of praise and worship, of trusting and true. If that's you, that's just between you and God. You're saved, but you're disconnected. Then you just ask God to forgive you of your sins. Then pick up the daily routine. It's on the back of the bulletin. Pick up the daily routine of Proverbs and the worship scriptures. And stay connected to God. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's a heart-to-heart rededication and connection. Nobody else needs to know. That's between you and God. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I'd like to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. We're not into membership here. We're into God. It's the ultimate. But you do need a place of covering. And if you say, Pastor, I want to journey with South Bay Abundant Life Church, and I want them to cover me as I cover them in prayer. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we love you on today. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us to the place of trusting and comforted, wisdom and favor, trusting and true, life and that more abundantly. That's the place we want to rest in. And we thank you that it comes through you, Lord. And only through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Sister Vonnie, do you want them to...